Oh, on Monday?
Yes. Here we begin. Vayehibim Achashverosh. It was in the times of Achashverosh. Amar Rabbi Levi, Ve'itemi Rabbi Yonasan. Davar Zeh Mesoros B'Yadina. We have a Mesorah. We have a Kabbalah. Me'an Shekinesa Sagadola, dating all the way back. That Ko Makum Shenemar Vayehi. Anytime the Tanakh says the word Vayehi, Eino Ela Lashon Tzar. That means it indicates that something negative happened or is going to happen. For example, the Gemara now is going to go through many, many examples of how Vayehi leads to something negative or suggests something negative. Vayehi b'mei Achashverosh hava Haman. In the times of Achashverosh, there was Haman. That's bad. Vayehi b'mei Shvot haShoftim. In the times of the Shoftim, hava Rav. It immediately says that there was a famine. So again, all these Vayehis are leading to or suggesting something negative. Vayehi ki yachel ha'adam larov apneu adama. As we saw in Bereishis, when man started to multiply, and then Vayara Hashem Kirabara Adam, people started going bad. Vahibanas Ami Kedem, when they traveled eastward, this was during the times of the Dor Haflaga. Hine Hava Nivne Lanu Ir, let's build a city, right? Verosho Magia Shamaima, something like that. But at any rate, these people wanted to build the tower to contend with Hashem. So again, the Vayehi, when they traveled eastward, leads to something negative. Vayehi b'mei Amraphel, it was in the times of Amraphel. This is the times of the four kings fighting the five kings in the times of Avraham. And what happened that with that Vayehi? Asu melchama, they made a war. Wars are never good. Vayehi b'mei Hosi Yoshua b'Yericho, when Yoshua was in Jericho. Vecharvo shlufa biyado. He met up with a man who had a sword in his hands, threatening. Vayehi Hashem es Yoshua. Hashem was. Amraphel was the four kings versus the five kings in war.
Okay.
Times of war. So war is a negative. Vayehi Hashem es Yoshua. Hashem was with Yoshua. Vayimalu bnei Yisrael. Bnei Yisrael did meila. They passed their hands against them.
What?
Achan, it was one Jew, exactly right. The Nach phrases it as if it was all of Klal Yisrael because they had an opportunity to be moche. They had an opportunity to prevent him from doing so, and they didn't do that. They didn't chastise him. So therefore, it's attributed to the Klal. But you're right, it was really only one guy. And
he wasn't chastised by anybody? Not
afterwards,
even Yeshua?
Afterwards. Afterwards, he most definitely was. But during... He was allowed to do it. He was not prevented. Vayhi ishacha min Ramasayim. This is talking in the very beginning of Shmuel, talking about Elkanah, and he was one man from Ramasayim, and it says ki eschana ahev. He loved Chana very much. VaHashem sagaris rachma, but Hashem closed off her rechem, her womb, and she could not have children. So we see the Vayhi suggests or portends something negative. Vayehi kasher zaken Shmuel, when Shmuel got old, v'lo halchu banav v'drachav, his children did not go in his ways. His children went wayward. Vayehi David l'chol drachav maskil. David in all of his ways was successful. V'Hashem imo, and Hashem was with him. But vayehi Shaul oyen as David. Shaul was eyeing David. He was being ma'ayin into everything that David did with an ayin hara. So even though David was successful, the Vayehi suggests that something negative is lurking, and that is that Shaul is now on David's back. Vayehi ki yashav hamelech bebeiso. It was when the king sat in his throne. This is talking about David HaMelech, and he had conquered all of his enemies, and he no longer had any war, but Rakata lo tivne bayis, Hashem says to him, because of all the blood on your hands, you will not build the Beis HaMikdash. So these are all suggestions of where we see Vayehi being in the negative light. But says the Gemara, aha, I have examples for you where Vayehi is perfectly positive. The Hakasiv, but we have a positive that says Vayehi b'yom hashmini, on the eighth day when they christened the Mishkan. The Tanya, and it says in a Braisa, also Hayom, that eighth day, Haisa Simcha lefnei HaKadosh Baruch Hu, ki yom shenivru ubo shamayim va'aretz. There was such a simcha in front of Hashem, like the day that the shamayim va'aretz were created, as it says, Because Ksiv Hacha Vayhi Bayom Hashmini, it says Bayom Hashmini, Uksiv Hasam, and it says by the creation of the world, Vayhi Erev Vayivoker Yom Echad. So we see Vayhi Yom and Vayhi Bayom. So there's a linkage between the two to suggest that what happened Bayom Echad, i.e. the Simcha that Hashem felt when creating the world, is the same Simcha that he saw, that he felt Bayom Hashmini on the eighth day. So we see Vayhi Bayom Hashmini is not altogether that bad. The Gemara says, well, it actually is, Ki Hashchiv Nadav Yavihu, because Nadav Avihu died on that day. So that's kind of a bummer, if you will.
Well, the day that they brought the unauthorized offering.
Yeah. Yeah, it's not recommended, as they say. Yeah.
Why is the Gemara bringing the question on Vayhi Bayom Hashmini and then using Vayhi Erev Yom Echad as you've got a better kasha with that, with Vayhi Yom Echad.
Yes, the Gemara, very good. The Gemara is going to get there. The Gemara is, in the next line, the Gemara is going to ask, what about Vayhi Erev Yom Echad? The only reason why the Gemara is, don't worry about it, because the only reason why the only reason why the Gemara is bringing in Vayhi Erev Yom Echad is to link Yom Echad with Bayom Hashmini. As if to say, there's a simcha on Yom Echad, and there's a simcha on Yom Hashmini. It's using it as a gzeiras shava to support Yom Hashmini, not to ask on Yom Echad.
I realize that. That was my question.
I hear. I'm not gonna bother to get too much into it because the Gemara itself is bothered by what you're bothered by, which is that that's also a positive. But you're right. In a chanami, the Gemara knocks off by Yom Hashmini, but it will not knock off Yom Echad. So let's get there. The Gemara says, "I v'haksiv." We have another pasuk that says, "Vayhi b'shmonim shana v'arbam yil shana." It was on the 480th year since the time of Yitzias Mitzrayim. Shlomo builds the Beis Hamikdash. Well, that's pretty good. V'haksiv, and also we have another one where it says, "Vayhi kasher ra'a Yaakov es Rachel." Yaakov sees Rachel, and this is, of course, the start of Klal Yisrael. So you can't complain too much about that. What's interesting is the Rashash brings down, he cried right afterwards, right? Many midrashim suggesting why is he crying because of the Churban bias, because she's not going to be buried with him. I mean, all these are all negatives. So anyway, I don't know what the answer is. I don't think he suggests an answer, but I think that what the Gemara's mahalich here is that the moment that Yaakov sees Rachel is the moment everything starts for Klal Yisrael. That's like the defining moment. Right, it's like this this Hollywood scene where, like, you know, you have like everything playing up to this one moment, and you have the feeling where everything from now on is going to be totally different, and this is the start of everything. But anyway,
why is that more than Yitzchak seeing Rivka?
Well, Yitzchak
see when Avram saw Sarah first, but
right. I mean, when we think about the legacy of Klal Yisrael, we go back. We really go back to the 12 Shvatim. I mean, that's really where it all starts. I don't know. We are Bnei Yisrael. We are Bnei Yisrael. We're the children of Yisrael, right? We don't consider ourselves Bnei Abraham, even though we are Bnei Abraham. We're Bnei Yitzchak. We're Bnei Yisrael. So the start of Klal Yisrael is at the 12 Shvatim. And the start of the 12 Shvatim is with Rachel. The moment where Yaakov, so if, you know, if you're setting up a Ten Commandments Part 2, then you would have like the moment where all the music goes off and Jacob sees Rachel, and it's like this wonderful moment.
Bunch of the Shvatim were born first, not from Rachel.
Right. Right. I guess so.
Yeah, but Rachel was the cause of it.
I mean, right.
Why did Yaakov marry yet later? Because
of Rachel. Right. Yeah. So it's really like this is like the start of everything. I would think, again, I'm suggesting that that's where the Gemara is picking up. And that's the Mahalich of the Gemara. But anyway, I could be wrong, but I'm never wrong. Anyway, the Pasuk says, V'haksiv. V'haksiv. And the Pasuk says, Vahir Vayvoker Yom Echad. So this is Mark Stern inserting himself into the Gemara. So that's another time where things are pretty good. V'ha'ika Sheni, and there's the second day. V'ha'ika Shlishi, and there's the third day. V'ha'ika Tuva, and there's more days. So your suggestion that Vayahi is always negative is met with quite a few challenges. Yes? So Amar Rav Ashi, Rav Ashi says, it's not completely true. Kol Vayehi Ikahachi Ikahachi. Where it says Vayehi, it could be this way, it could be that way. There's no defined interpretation of Vayehi. Okay?
Yeah.
That's not exactly what the Gemara meant when it said that. Rather, Vayehi Bimei Eino Elo Lashon Tsar. Vayehi Bimei, when it says Vayehi, it was in the days of, that is portending something negative. That's a Lashon of Tsar. Chamisha Vayehi Bimei Havu, and there are five total in all of Tanakh. This is a raya that the concordancia was around in the times of the Gemara as well.
What was that word?
What's a concordancia?
Oh man, that's a tough crowd. Mark's the only one who gets that one. Concordancia. Let me say the concordancia is this thick book that has, like, if you look up any word, it'll tell you where exactly it is in Tanakh.
No, I had no idea.
It's a fascinating book.
Wow.
It's an amazing, amazing book. You should take a look at it. We have one over here. I have one even bigger at home. It's like this fat thing. You can look up any word, and it'll tell you exactly how many times it comes up and where it comes up.
Like every word?
Every single word, like Vayehi. You can look up Vayehi. It'll tell you S. It'll tell you every S in Tanakh. It's fascinating. It's amazing.
I wrote that book.
What?
Does
it tell you why? Like, why it has it? So many.
No. It's not a perush. Okay. It is simply there to tell you how many times and where. That's it.
What word is the least?
I didn't write the book. I don't know, man.
You didn't read it?
I can't read it. Are you kidding me? Have you read the Britannica from A to Z? It's a Britannica. Do you know what the Britannica is?
No.
Oh, man.
It's paper Wikipedia.
It's a paper Wikipedia.
What?
What? It's a paper Wikipedia. Okay. Anyway, it doesn't matter. It's a different generation. It's a different Baruch Hashem. We shouldn't know Britannicus. Okay, fascinating.
I like the World Book, though. More
than I used to have World Book.
Did I have World Book, too? I don't remember. I think I had a Britannica. I have a Britannica still at home. I'm trying to get rid of it. I'm trying to get rid of it. I think I'm going to use it for firewood.
I only know Wikipedia online or something.
Yeah.
Why do you want to get rid of it?
It's so old. I just go to Wikipedia. Why would I? Anyway, I'm back here. I don't know how I got here. Anyway, so there are five Vayehi Bimeis. Oh, that's how we got here. There are five Vayehi Bimeis. They are Vayehi Bimei Achashverosh, Vayehi Bimei Shvot HaShoftim, Vayehi Bimei Amraphel. Those are three that we already discussed. Vayehi Bimei Achaz. It was in the times of Achaz. Now, Achaz was not a great king, because Achaz shut down the Batei Medrash. Our Gemara is that Achaz was not great. He shut down Torah learning. So that was a negative. Vayehi Bimei Yehoyakim. It was in the times of Yehoyakim, and he was at the very end of, really the very, very, very beginning of the end of the Beis HaMikdash. So in his time, the Beis HaMikdash was really going down. So that's also a negative. So these Vayehi Bimeis, whenever it says, whenever the Torah or Tanakh uses the Vayehi Bimei, it is, you know, it is forecasting a very negative future.
Wait, when we were like way up here, were the examples Vayehi or Vayehi Bimei?
Vayehi. Vayehi. They were all Vayehis.
It said Vayehi when it was explaining it, but were the actual examples Vayehi only or Vayehi Bimei?
There were some Vayehi Bimeis and there were some Vayehis. The Gemara had thought that all Vayehis meant something negative, but the Gemara knocked it off because we know that there are plenty of Vayehis, including the days of creation that are positive. Okay. Okay. So that's that part. That's that part. The Gemara goes on to another topic. Amar Rabbi Levi. Rabbi Levi says, "Davar zeh mesoras biyadenu me'avoseinu." We have another mesora, a Kabbalah tradition from our fathers, that Amotz and Amatzia achim havu. They were brothers. So that's going to be on the test. Amotz and Amatzia were brothers. Micah Mashmalin says, Gemara, who really cares? Why do I really care that they were brothers or not? So the Gemara says, Ki hada amar Rabbi Shmuel bar Nachmeni, Amrav Yonasan. It's relevant because of the statement of Rav Shmuel Bar Nachmani in the name of Rav Yonasan. Kol kala kashahid snua. Any woman, a kala, a bride who is tsanua, she is very modest, bebeis chamiha, in her father-in-law's house. Zocha v'yotze mimena malachim unavim. She will be zocha, that she will beget, her progeny will beget malachim, kings, unavim, and prophets. Minalan, from where do we see such a thing? Mitamar, from Tamar, this is relevant to our parashios. Dechsev, as it says in the pasuk, Vayira Yehuda v'yachshaveha lezona. This is in Parshas Vayeshev, that Yehuda sees Tamar, and he thinks that she is a zona. Why does she think that Tamar is a zona? Ki chisisa paneha, because she covered her face. Now, this is really incongruous.
He never saw her face while she was in his house.
That is what the Gemara is going to say here. It is somewhat incongruous that because she covered her face, he thinks she's a zona. A zona is actually the opposite. She's very prutza. So why, because she covered her face, would she think that she's a zona? So
were they like that in those days?
I can't answer that because I'm a little bit...
You and I both lived in L.A. You've seen Hollywood. That is not what they do.
That is not what they do. They do not cover their faces.
They don't cover anything.
They don't cover anything.
They cover the minimum.
MS. Right. Sometimes not even that. But, so that's what the Gemara asks.
Also, the Torah doesn't say that Tamar dressed up like a Kadesha or a Zona. It said that he thought her to be a Kadesha. It said she covered her face. She sat by, and he thought her to be one.
But didn't she
know that was she was trying to do, and that's how she was trying to get him?
She was trying to do what?
Wasn't she trying to get Yehuda because she knew he was going to pass by that place?
Yes, she was trying to get Yehuda. Yeah.
Right. So didn't she know exactly that she was trying to pose as a Kadesha?
She was trying to pose as a Kadesha.
So why the Torah doesn't say it that way? It says he thought her to be a Kadesha, not that she disguised herself as a Kadesha or whatever.
I'm not sure what your question is. Do you know what his question is? I'm not sure I understand.
Exactly
Kadesha?
What I'm asking.
Wait a minute.
Kadesha is a Zona. A Zona.
Okay.
A Zona. Yeah.
All right. But the point is, as his daughter-in-law, he never saw her because her face was always covered in his house.
Yes, that's what the Gemara is going to say.
But here's a woman sitting at the crossroads.
I can say right now, like in three lines.
Here's a woman sitting at the crossroads and covered up. Okay, she wore black in his house because of the husband's dying. Okay, she wore black in his house, but here's a woman wearing normal clothing with her face covered. She must be a Zona.
Or Arab. Or very from.
Right. You know, but back then.
I can't answer any of these questions. So anyway, it says the Gemara Mishum de kisses upaneha ve'achshvel zona. This is incongruous. Because she covered her face, he thought that she was a Zona. That's the opposite. That's not what Zonos do. So it says the Gemara, Ella, rather, no, Mishum de kisses upaneha ve'beis chamiha, because she was so modest. Back in her father-in-law's house, when they were one big happy family, Velohava Yadala, and he had never seen her before. She was so tsanua that she had kept her face covered all these years. He didn't even know what she looked like. Therefore, when she posed as a Zona on the road, he mamish did not realize it was Tamar. Therefore, she was zocha to have by her Malachim Neviim. Malachim Midavid, kings from David. As we know, David was a direct descendant of Tamar. And Neviim, how do we know? A prophet, the Amr of Levi, Mesoras Biadeno Meavoseno, there is a Mesorah that we have. Amos and Amatzia Achim Hayu. That Amos and Amatzia were brothers. Uksiv, and it says in the Pasuk, Chazon Yeshayahu ben Amos.
David?
Yes.
She covered her face in his house.
Are you still like on that covering her face?
Yeah. Here's what I'm getting to.
Yeah.
Okay. Would he have recognized her voice, or would she have disguised her voice?
I don't know.
No, I mean, does that sound logical?
I don't know. Maybe they never talked much. Maybe they just didn't talk much. Maybe they had a very estranged father-in-law, daughter-in-law
she
relationship.
She only spoke to her husband.
Yeah, she wrote to Noah. She never talked to him.
Okay.
All right.
That's logical.
All right. I appreciate that.
Doesn't the Torah say that he didn't recognize her because her face was covered, because she looked like a...
Vayashavela Zona, she kissed Sapana because she covered her face.
Right.
But
here the Gemara is saying it's not because she covered her face. The Gemara is saying because she covered her face all the time. So which is it?
She kisses up on now because she covered her face generally. She generally covered her face. Therefore, he thought that she was right. He would never have recognized her. He thought that she was a Zona because she had always covered her face. That's the pshat.
And after all these years, I don't understand why Yehuda went for a Zona at all.
These are very complicated issues. Indeed, these are complicated issues. These are beyond the scope of my pay grade.
Okay.
It's a very difficult subject. Right. I mean, even the whole thing of killing the brother for. You know, kill your brother? I mean, I got into fights with my brother. I never wanted to kill him.
Sure.
I don't think so. I mean, I wanted to beat him up. I never wanted him to die. I don't know. And these are tzaddik and gemurim. These are the holy.
Why would I have said because she always covered her face?
But that's been explained to me in the way I understand.
Because
this
she
has not
always
been
covered her face.
It doesn't say that.
Okay. No.
No.
Okay.
Because
she
covered her face.
Covered her face.
Right. She covered her face.
All right. I mean, you were saying always before.
I'm sorry. I apologize.
And by
and then the Malchus comes from Yehuda, who went for a Zona.
Mm-hmm. There's a lot of Kabbalistic
ideas. It was an Osir, but it's not so becoming.
It's not becoming. I don't know how to answer any of these things. It's a very, very. These are very difficult sugyas within. You know, there's a lot of sugyas in Tanakh which are really head scratchers. The whole David and Bathsheba is beyond my comprehension. But again, I'm just a simple Jew. Amar Rabbi Levi. Rabbi Levi says, "Davar zeh mesoros b'yadeinu me'avoseinu." We have another mesora. The makom aron eino min hamida. The place of the aron in the kodesh hakadoshim eino min hamida. It was not part of the measurement. Now, what does that mean? It wasn't part of the measurement. It appears that most people learn that the aron miraculously did not take up any space.
Yeah.
Even though it was amasayim v'chitzi arko v'amba v'chitzi rachbo. But in the Kodesh HaKadoshim, it miraculously did not take up any space. Now you'll say, how is that possible? It's not. In our physical realm, it's not possible. But the miracle of the Aron was that if you were to measure the Kodesh HaKadoshim, you would see 20 long and 20 wide. And there was 20 amos between the, as the Gemara is going to say, 20 amos between the Aron and one wall, and 10 amos between the Aron and one wall, and 10 amos between the Aron and another wall. So it seems as though the Aron took up no space, which is a miracle. However, I would suggest, based on the Hemshech of the Gemara, maybe a possible different pshat. Tani Nami Hachi. There's another brisa that supports this. Aron Sha'asa Moshe, the Aron that Moshe made, Yesh Lo Eser Amos L'chol Ruach. There were 10 amos from it to every side. And the pasuk says, "V'lifnei hadvir esrim ama." Within the dvir, meaning within the kodesh kadashim, there were 20 amos, orech of length. So we see that there was 20 amos in each direction of the dvir of the kodesh kadashim. There were 10 amos between the aron and one wall, 10 amos between the wall and aron and another wall, which means, mathematically, the Aron took up no space, which is not physically possible. But that's the nace of the Aron. That's the classic suggestion on how to read this Gemara. That the Aron miraculously took up no space. Uksiv, there's another pasuk which I don't understand. It says Knafa Kruva Echades or Amos, Knafa Kruva Echades or Amos, the Kruvim that rested in the Aron in the Kodesh Kadashim was the one wing was 10 amos, another wing was 10 amos. I'm not really sure what that proves, but I think there are other Mephorshim who also have a hard time with that. But at any rate, Aron Gufei Heichahava Kai. How did the Aron stand? If you're going to have 10 amos from the Aron to the wall on one side and 10 amos from the Aron to another wall, that means 20 amos. But the whole Kodesh Kadoshim was 20 amos, so how did it even work? The proof is Benes Hayaomed. The Aron stood Benes Again, I'm gonna tell you what the classic suggestion here is that the Aron took up miraculously no space. And so if you were to measure from the Aron to one wall and from the Aron to another wall, you'd come up with 10 amos each way. And the whole Dvir, the whole Kadosh Kadoshim was only 20 amos. And so, in fact, the nais of the Aron is that it took up no space whatsoever. What I would suggest is a much more boring pshat, but at least it would help us understand how it could be that the Aron does actually take up some space, is that the last three words of this piece says, B'nais HaYa'omed. B'nais HaYa'omed was also something that we learned on Daf Beis Amid Beis. What else was Nais HaYa'omed? If you remember, Mansapach, right? There was a Gemara that said that Mem Nun Samech, Pei and Chaf, Tzadi, Pei and Chaf, those five letters of the Luchos, B'nais HaYa'omdin. They stood B'nais. What does it mean, they stood B'nais? They hovered, because they had no, when you carve them out of stone, they had nothing to cling to. So in the Luchos themselves, they kind of hovered in the middle there. And when you carved around it, they just kind of stood there as a miracle. That is not to say that they stood there and they didn't take up any space. What it means is that they stood there, they hovered above the ground, above anything. They were B'nais HaYa'omdin. They just kind of stood there as a miracle. And it uses the same lashon here, B'nais HaYa'omed. I would suggest that what the Gemara is not saying, it's not saying that the Aron did not take up any measurement. It is rather saying that the Aron hovered above the ground. And therefore, it could be that there were 20 amos all around, and 10 amos from one part of the Aron to 10 amos to the other part, because underneath the Aron there was hollow space. Anyway, it's possible, but I don't know. Rav Yonasan pasuk lepiskalai parshas mihacha. Rav Yonasan broached the subject of the Megillah with the following phrase. We're going to have a lot of these pasuk lepiskalai parshas. He started the parsha of Megillah with the following introduction, and this is going to come up a lot in the next daf. And basically, as I understand it, I haven't seen anything on it, but as I understand it, the Gemara is trying to hint to where the Megillah is found elsewhere, because we know the Megillah is a very kind of elusive, nisi, very miraculous type of entity. And in fact, it was only until later that they decided to canonize the Megillah. So the Gemara here is suggesting that the Megillah is alluded to in other places in Tanakh. In any rate, the Megillah is introduced. V'kamti aleihem v'ekvesi labavel shem u'she'er v'nin v'neched ne'um Hashem. Hashem says, I will come against the non-Jews and I will cut off Bavel, a name and a family and a grandchild. Shame Zehaksav. When I say I'm gonna cut off Bavel, I'm gonna cut off their name, that means any of their writings. She'er Zelashon, that's their language. They're gonna have to use some other language. Nin Zemalchus, and Nin is a reference to Malchus, Venechet Zu Vashti. The grandchild is Vashti, because we know Vashti came, was a direct descendant, the very last direct descendant of Nebuchadnezzar. So when Hashem says I'm gonna cut off any lineage of Bavel, she's referring to Vashti, who is the last of it. Rabbi Shmuel Bar Nachmeni pasach lapischal hypershasa mehacha. Rabbi Shmuel Bar Nachmeni broached the subject of the Megillah with the following pasuk.
What does that mean, broached?
He introduced, meaning when he darshaned publicly about the Megillah, he would always start off with the following pasuk. This is his intro. These are very interesting psukim as to why they picked these particular psukim to start off a drasha about the Megillah, but that's beyond the scope of this shir, because I don't have any understanding of this. Tachas ha-na'atzutz yalev rosh, instead of the na'atzutz, which is a thorny bush, will grow a brosh, which is a cedar tree. V'sachas ha-sirpad, and in place of the thistles, yale hadas, a das, a hadas, a myrtle will grow. What does that mean? Tachas hanatzutz, tachas Haman Rasha. When it talks about a thorny bush, that's referring to Haman. Sha'asa atzmo avodah zara, he made himself into an avodah zara. He made people bow down to him. Dechsev, as it says in the pasuk, ubechol hanatzutzim ubechol hanahalulim. With all the natzutzim, meaning the thorny bushes, ubechol hanahalulim, all those that are praised. So we see that natzutz is something which is praised. So Haman was trying to make himself praised. Yalev Rosh, what does it mean that a cedar tree will grow? Zeh Mordechai. That's more a reference to Mordechai. Why? Shenikra Rosh L'chol HaBesamim. Because the brosh is, the Mordechai is referred to as the head of all spices. How so? Shenemar, because the pasuk says V'atakach L'chol HaBesamim Rosh, for the Ketores, it says you should take for yourself Besamim Rosh. Spices that are the head. Mor Doror is the first spice. Mor Doror, Metargaminan, Targum Unklus, translates Mor Doror as Maridechi, which is Mordechai. So we see he is the head spice. Tachas Asirpad is reference to Tachas Vashti, Harasha, Bas Benosha, Nebuchadnezzar. She's the granddaughter of Nebuchadnezzar. Shesaraf Refidas Beis Hashem, who burned the Beis Hashem. Dechsev Refidaso Zahav, his refid, his bias was made of gold. Yale Hadas, what does it mean that a Hadas will grow? Zu Esther Hatzadekes. This is a reference to Esther, Shenikras Hadasa, Shenemar Vayhi Omenes Hadasa, that Mordechai supported Hadasa. And the Pasuk says he Esther, that's a reference to Esther. The pasuk goes on to say Hashem will be a name. Zu Mikra Megillah. That's a reference to Megillah, that Hashem will be praised and raised as a result of the Megillah. La Os Olam Lo Yikares, as a sign, an eternal sign that will not be cut off. Elu Yemei Purim. That's a reference to the days of Purim, which, as we know, even La Asid Lavo will never cease to exist, whereas all of the other Chagim will cease. Purim will not. Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi Pasuk HaPisuk Bar Pshas Meacha. Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi introduced the topic of the Megillah with the following pasuk: V'haya kasher sas Hashem aleichem heitiv eschem. Just as Hashem was rejoiced upon you to do good to you, ken yasis lehara eschem. So too he will rejoice to do bad to you. Says the Gemara, is that possible? Does Hashem really take joy in the fall of the Rishayim? That's not true. But the pasuk says, when the army would come out in front of me, the singers in front of the army would sing praise to Hashem, ki liolam chazdo, but they didn't say ki tov. Why doesn't it say ki tov? Because Hashem doesn't take joy in the downfall of the Rishoyim, therefore you can't say ki tov because he is great. We don't want to praise Hashem for taking down our enemies. Furthermore, when Klal Yisrael left Mitzrayim, it says that the two camps did not meet one another. Bikshu Malachi Asharis Lomar Shira. Malachi Asharis wanted to sing Shira. Amar Kadosh Baruch Hu, Hashem said, Masa Yadai Tovim Bayam Atema Mim Shira. My Maisi Yadayim, the people that I created, even the Mitzrim, as bad as they were my creation. I'm going to get rid of them, and you are going to say Shira? That's inappropriate. The Amar Rabbi Lazar, Hu Enosas. Rabbi Lazar answers, you're right. Hashem does not take joy when we are doing the wrong things, and that he has to punish us. He who ain't osas, he is not joyous. Avalacherim mesis. What he does is he allows the enemies to rejoice over us. Vidikanami, and it's actually meduyak in the pasuk because the chsiv ken yasis. Lashon yasis means that he will make others rejoice, not that he himself will rejoice. The loksiv yasus. Yasus would suggest that Hashem himself takes joy.
Why would he want anyone to rejoice in such a situation?
I don't know that he would want anybody to rejoice, no,
but
he allows it. He allows the rejoicing of the enemy. Yes.
He must want it if he allows it. He's going to allow things he doesn't want.
Yeah. Why? So why does he allow others to rejoice? That's part of the punishment of Klal Yisrael, is that we have to not only suffer the actual punishment, but we have to suffer the pain and the embarrassment of the enemy. You know, it was one thing during the war, during the Holocaust, it was one thing that they would wipe us out. One thing of the joy that they were taking,
yeah.
Right? And yeah. And the way in which they did it was.
But on the flip side, you know, when we came out of Mitzrayim, and we crossed the Reed Sea, okay, you know, the Song of the Sea, okay, was joy. We were joyous.
Yeah.
Hashem, we were joyous at coming across and the Mitzrayim drowned.
Yeah.
Okay, but Hashem was not.
Right. Yeah. Echanami.
You know, it works the same way on both sides.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. True. Says the Gemara a little bit further. We'll get to the bottom over here. Rabbi Abba Bar Kahana pasach la piskla haprashas mehacha. Rabbi Abba Bar Kahana introduced the subject of the Megillah with the following phrase: La adam shatov lefanav nasan chachma v'das v'simcha. To a man who has good in front of him, meaning he's a good person, Hashem gives chachma and das and simcha. Ze Mordechai at tzadik. That's a reference to Mordechai, who had all of these things. Ulachote, but to he who sins, nasan inyan, Hashem gives the interest to le'asof ulechnos, to gather in and to hoard. Meaning a person who is a chote, he's just going to continue to feast on more and more, right? And as it says in Koheles, ohev kesef lo yisba kesef. You are never going to be satisfied if you continue to hoard. And so that's how Hashem punishes the wicked. He just makes them get more and more, and believe it or not, that actually does not satisfy their hunger or their thirst. It actually just makes them hungrier, and they can never get to a point of satisfaction. Lasleis latov lefnei Elokim, the pasuk goes on to say that to give good to Hashem, zem Mordechai ve'Esther. That's a reference to Mordechai ve'Esther, dechsiv, atasim Esther es Mordechai al beis Haman. Esther placed Mordechai on Beis Haman. I'm not sure exactly how that's a reference to Lasleis Latov Lefnei Elokim, but that's maybe saying that Esther placed Mordechai on the top pedestal. Al Beis Haman is as high as you can get. Rabba Bar Ofran Pasuk La Pischla Hiprashasa Meacha. Rabba Bar Ofran introduced the Megillah the following Pasuk, Vesamti Kis'i Be'ilam. I will place my throne in Ilam, V'ha'avadati Misham Melech Visarim. And I will destroy from there kings and officers. Melech zu Vashti. Melech is a reference to Vashti, who came from Malchus. Bisarim, an officer, is Zehaman. Vaser is Banav. It's a reference to Haman and his 10 sons, who were also destroyed. And we will stop here, as exciting as these are. There is a lot of depth to these Gemaras, but we're not really going to have the time. It takes long enough to go through these as it is. So, we will stop here.